May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I lived in London, our church verger was a man called Patrick, who was also a former dancer for the English National Ballet. One day, I plucked up the courage to attend one of his ballet lessons as a total beginner. And I was amazed at how learning to dance gave me a new way of looking at the world. Patrick taught us that dance is made up of two contrasting movements, en dehors and en dedans. En dehors is the outside movement. En dedans is the inside movement. One movement opens, another movement closes. Patrick said that life is made up of the opening en dehors and the closing en dedans moments. At the beginning of each day, opening our eyes, opening the curtains, opening the door to go out of the house. And each day is full of the closing movements, shutting the doors, turning the lights off, shutting our eyes. Our life is full of these movements and these choices. Opening our arms in greeting, opening our hearts to the vulnerability of being loved. Or maybe closing ourselves off in fear, in hurt, in anger. In today's gospel, Jesus' followers have journeyed with him for a little while now. They've had a front row seat as they've heard him preach and seen many wonderful things. Their lives to this point have been made up of the en dedans movements, gathering these pieces of information about who Jesus is. But now comes the time to go out. For followers of Jesus, if they are mirroring the Lord their God, must always be looking outwards, ready to draw more in. For this is the God who tirelessly searches out the lost sheep, who waits for the lost son to come home, who welcomes those whom the world deems to be unlovable. God in Jesus does not stand far off, but comes near, ready to seek us out wherever we may find ourselves. And so, it is in his name and with his authority that the group are sent out. They must mirror him, opening to others the good news they have received. I wonder if they were a jolly band, this 70 or so, filled to the brim with enthusiasm and courage. Perhaps their confidence in God was unwavering. But since Jesus sent out humans, not droids, I wonder if they felt a bit wobbly as they travelled. Maybe sometimes they wanted to close up. I can't do this. I'm not sure I want to do this. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not sure I believe every bit of this. And yet, they went as Jesus sent them, trusting in him rather than their own insecurities. And by their account, their mission was pretty successful. The 70 returned with joy. You can imagine them, eyes agleam, talking over one another with enthusiasm. Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. They are overjoyed and overwhelmed by the power of the gospel. And Jesus tells them, yes, you do have authority in my name. But do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes, you will see amazing things as you step out in faith, trusting in God. But do not despair when you don't see fireworks and jazz hands and miracles writ large. We are not working for results. We are working for the Lord. But Jesus' instructions to the 70 presume welcome, but also presume rejection. Whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, whenever. As disciples open their arms to invite and usher people to receive the good news, so the people can close themselves off in rejection or open themselves in acceptance. What is important is that they give the invitation. The kingdom of God has come near. Whether they accept or reject or not is out of their control and out of our control. Our job is to give the invitation. This is vulnerable. It involves opening ourselves up. It feels risky. I remember inviting somebody to church once, and they said yes. Good start. But that Sunday, they had a guest preacher who preached a prosperity gospel. If you believe, you'll receive this. And I sat there with my head in my hands thinking, what have I done? Why did I bring them here? But it gave me the opportunity to talk to my friend Charlie and say, I see things a bit differently. To him. I understand God's love in a different way. And we could have the conversation. We do this, we risk making the invitation because we have joy to share. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so we do this work, assured that we are known by name. That we are loved, that we have already been welcomed by God. This is the foundation of our joy. We are known, we are loved, we are welcomed. And this is what we extend to others. When this is our foundation, we can trust God to give us the boldness we need to make the invitation. And the grace we need to accept the response. I wonder in what ways God might call you to open up. Perhaps it begins by opening up here, by staying for coffee for the first time. Perhaps it's been open to talking about your faith with your family and friends. And not taking the nearest available exit when you see the opportunity to do so. What would happen if we dared pray, Lord, give me the courage to witness to your joy today? A brave man did that last week. He's 25. He's a rapper. He's known as Stormzy. And last Friday, he led hundreds of thousands of people in worship at Glastonbury. In the middle of his set, he said, "We're going to take this to church. We're going to give God all the glory right now." And along with a gospel choir, the huge crowd, the majority of whom have probably never, ever gone to church, sung together, "Lord, I've been broken, Although I'm not worthy, you fix me. You blind me by your grace. You came and saved me. It's not by blood, and it's not by birth. But oh my God, what a God I serve. Stormzy had every reason not to do this. But he did it nevertheless. He gave God all the glory. Imagine what might happen if we had the boldness to be open to God's leading, safe in the assurance that we are known, we are loved, and we are welcomed. May the Father give us all the grace we need to go out in the power of the Spirit to witness to the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.